B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Again, hi gentlemen.
How we doing? Wednesday,
hump day,
right there. Wednesday,
hump day.
That's the biggest thing you said so far. You haven't said much. Now, how would I know? I wasn't on a conference call, so why would I know? Right?
Where were you?
Why don't you check your phone? Who called me?
Who called me?
I'm sitting here waiting. Sitting here just.
I called T-Bone. Beetle called me, and then T-Bone we merged the calls.
T-Bone and Hardy did a call. I called in late, and that it like, I don't know, 9:30, 9:35, okay. Something like that.
That's nice. Tom, who called me again, like you said? Hello?
What?
T-Bone.
What?
What? Say what again. I watched that last night, by the way. Pulp Fiction was on. Say what again? Whew. What is that? A Sprite? Would you mind if I have a sip of your Sprite?
That's Morgan Freeman now. In that movie, as you told us before.
That's Samuel L. Jackson, buddy.
Oh,
man, he's scary too. He
look at you paying attention.
That's one of his best scenes, man. I'm telling you. Whew. That's better than Snakes on a Plane.
Oh, jeez. If that's the bar, it's got to be better than Snakes on a Plane. It is definitely better than Snakes on a Plane.
Think about it. What are you going to do, like, if you're on a plane, that snake, you know, all of a sudden snakes are coming out, you know, the bulkheads. Like, oh, my God. Like, what do you do?
Has anyone ever actually watched that movie? Like, if you sat down and watched that thing start to finish, though.
Not start to finish. I picked it up in
between. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, yes, we're all familiar with it, but who's actually watched it?
I don't want that in my psyche because that would mess with my dreams at night. Like, whatever I do during the day or things I think about, I end up dreaming about them. And then you wake up, and then you can't go back to bed. But here we are. So,
all right. Well, here we are.
Wednesday,
how do you feel about how do you feel about the readiness of sports to come back right now?
I mean, I think everything's up in the air, right, with everything. But at some point, we got to do it. We got to do it. I know Arizona's ready to go, right? This weekend.
Open.
Beetle.
Arizona is open for this weekend.
For pro sports.
You want to do something there this weekend? They're ready to go. They're
Hardy,
open.
Why don't they have the Phoenix open? Just let's go right now. The Waste Management
the
open.
Greater Waste Management open? Yeah, that would be.
Do you know the social distancing that would not take place in that crowd?
Well, it depends. Whew. If they just banned prostitutes from attending the event, they'd probably be able to do the social distancing. I mean, that cuts the...
That's three-quarters of the crowd right there.
It cuts the spectator number at least in half.
Unbelievable. Right.
So let's do a ranking of the four major professional sports, Major League Baseball, the NFL, NHL, NBA, obviously. Who do you think is most ready to make a return? And this can be based on anything. Anything you think is appropriate to include in the equation.
I think it's easy.
Okay, go ahead.
NBA. The NBA should be the most ready. We've talked about hockey a lot over the last month about how long it takes to get legs back. The most concerning thing for those guys is, you know, we're going to need a four or five-week ramp up. Basketball, you know, they say they're not shooting or they're shooting. They should be running. That's a conditioning sport, right? Baseball, the timing I think is going to take you got to get pitchers' arms ready. Batters got to get their hand-eye coordination going. Football's way off, so we don't have to really consider football at this point yet. But basketball should be the first ready to go.
Like, and by ready, I mean who's the most ready to start and most ready to play.
They have the least amount of people on a team.
The NBA should be the most ready, but I don't think they are because if they are, they would be.
Isn't it, Isn't that disappointing if you're Silver and those guys? Like, how are we not the most ready to come back yet?
They'd because have some sort talked, of,
go ahead.
They'd have some sort of plan, and they don't. They don't have a plan.
Their plan seemed the most doable out of anybody's plan. Baseball's the one that keeps going in circles, and now you got a money issue. Who's going to get paid? Are we going to get paid accordingly?
So the truth is, baseball is further ahead than the NBA.
That's terrible.
They have an actual idea of a 78 or 82 game season. They want to play in home ballparks. Now they've got to hammer out the money. They've had their owners agree to a plan. Their owners 2 days ago voted and agreed to a plan. Have the NBA owners done that?
No.
No, they haven't even got to that stage yet. They haven't figured out where they
want
to play.
They don't even want their coaches to be at the shoot-arounds.
Right. Are they going to do a bubble? Are they going to open up the facilities? No. Yes. Actually, no, the teams don't want to. We'll wait another couple of weeks. I mean, I'm sorry, but baseball is actually, and granted, baseball has the advantage of being at the start of their season. So does the NFL, which is why baseball, to me, at least as crazy as that seems, they've got something in place. They've got an idea, which in my mind puts them ahead of the NBA. The NBA doesn't have any plan whatsoever. They don't know what they want to do. So my ranking would be NFL is number one. They have just basically put their head down and they have plowed through this thing and they're just going to do it. And they seem.
Well, they have time on their side, too.
Again, they do. I mean, they have time on their side, too, which I think aids them in the ranking.
Sure.
So they're number one to me. Baseball is number two. Their money thing with the players is a big factor, I know, but I ultimately, as I told you yesterday, don't believe it will derail the season. The NBA is third, and the NHL is dead last, and I am feeling more and more that the NHL is not going to make it back. And we'll get to more on that, but I would put the NHL dead last right now.
Yep.
That's the feeling I'm getting just based on the lack of movement in terms of, you know, every time we hear about a story or a conference call or even if it's a hiccup like, you know, we experienced yesterday, and I know we'll talk more about the, you know, the NBA and whether or not the players were polled or not. At least there's something. At least there's, you know, there's something of a discussion taking place between owners and the league or the league and the Players Association. And there hasn't been as much, it seems like, with the NHL. And they should be the ones, in terms of what needs to be accomplished, they've got the least on their plate. You can ask everybody their opinions on this stuff. You can ask the players and the coaches and the team owners, do you want to have some regular season games? They might want what they want, but at some point somebody needs to step in and say, okay, whether it's Bettman or the Board of Governors, whatever, and say, no, no more regular season, no more tune-up. Here's what we're doing. We're doing the playoffs, and we're starting it presumably on July 3rd, and that gives you guys 6 weeks to get yourselves ready, and here are the teams who are in, and we're going to play them without fans, and we're going to do them in these arenas, okay? And you know, enough with the, well, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to have the season end the way it ended back in early March? Because the longer you take and the more opinions you solicit without coming up with any kind of a plan, just a plan to put out there, the more likely it is that there will be nothing. And I can't believe that the majority of the players, coaches, owners, and that stuff want nothing. So somebody needs to come up with something.
Yeah, I really feel like we should be directing more of our rage to the NBA now.
That's the way I feel. I mean, they should be ready to go. Least amount of players. It's basketball. And I'm not downplaying basketball, but if you would roll, you know, one team out versus another, say next week in all the sports, which one should be really seamless and ready to go? I would think it would be the NBA, right? Because it comes so natural to those guys. Yeah, it's going to take a while to skate. I think hockey's dead. I do. I said this two weeks ago.
I don't know if natural is but I know what you're saying, Zoe. It seems like, and
you can look like watch a game and wouldn't be too sloppy, right?
No offense to NBA players, but you know, if they've been staying in some kind of shape, then they have the best chance of being in game shape on a shorter amount of notice. You know, baseball players, forget it. You know, they need their long ramp up, and especially for the pitchers, that, you know, there's actual validity to that. Hockey, yeah, these guys need to skate first. There's no way you can reasonably expect them to just go out and play. But basketball, if they've maintained some level of fitness, And, yeah, it's going to take a while to get your game legs back and your game lungs back, but not as much time as you would need, certainly, for hockey, and I don't even think for baseball.
But on top of that, Hardy, logistically, you could play basketball anywhere.
I mean, we talked about this arena thing.
You can go to any arena in America and play the game. And if they don't have an arena there, you can even build one of your own very quickly when you don't have to worry about fans. You can bring your own court with you. You can do whatever it is you need to do to get the game wherever you want to bring it or wherever you want to put it. And they can do it, and it doesn't require a rink. It doesn't require good ice. It doesn't require a lot of equipment. So there's not a lot of stuff they got to drag with them. I mean, they really have a lot of advantages that other sports don't, especially football and hockey. And they just, I don't know, for whatever reason, they seem to be behind baseball right now in that they can't even just settle on, well, here's what we want to do. Baseball, I think, even admits, listen, this is what we would like to do. We don't know if it'll happen this way. But the NBA can't even settle on what it is they want to do. What do you want to do? And they just haven't been able to put that together yet. They just haven't, at least not publicly. In fact, last night, they were sending out text messages in the NBA Players Association. The Players Association was polling their players informally. There's a little bit of a Shams Woj thing going back and forth in the reporting. Shams said, you know, no, it didn't happen. Nothing was authorized. Woj is saying, well, here's the text message that was sent out to players. And it was simply, do you want to play again? Do you want to come back? And it's like, this is the stage we're at in the NBA. They don't even know if their players want to come back and do it. They're gonna poll the players and see what they want and if they're willing to come back. And it's just moving very slow in the NBA. And I thought they would be
embarrassing. Wouldn't it be embarrassing if, like, the NBA set it up, they made a plan, their owners get together, you know, they sit down with Silver, okay, here we got it out, and then all of a sudden the players don't want to play. Like, shouldn't you find that out first? Right now you're texting people whether or not they want to play or not?
Well, the league isn't. The Players Association is.
Right. Well, exactly. You're going to have a negotiation, as you would with all the sports and their unions. Some are better than the others. So NBA should be ready to go.
We'll talk about the NBA. Also, the NHL and what Bill Daly had to say in an interview that paints a very grim picture for the NHL. It's hard to come away from reading the interview and feeling good about their chances of coming back. We'll get to that coming up next. And your calls, rank the four. Who's the most ready to make a return? NFL has time on its side. MLB has the advantage of being at the start of their season. The NBA and NHL are at the end of their season at the playoff point. Who's most ready to make a comeback? Your thoughts, 617-779-0985.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
We'll get to your calls in a moment. We did reference an interview that Pierre LeBrun did with Bill Daly of the NHL. Bill Daly doesn't exactly paint a great picture. He is the deputy commissioner for the NHL. And he's asked about formats, 24-team format, gaining momentum, saying it's been mentioned, but this is Pierre LeBrun's questioning. It's been mentioned by sources on both team and players' side to me over the last 7 to 10 days. And then he asked Daly if we should be careful in cementing that in our minds as a definite, you know, format. You know, should we assume that's the format, or should we slow down on that one? And he says, I'd be careful about cementing anything in your mind at this point. I think, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about a lot of different formats, a lot of different variations, because we haven't made any decisions. That's why I'd be careful on cementing any one scenario over any other right now. Key line there. We haven't made any decisions. None.
They're dead.
I'd be careful about solidifying any plans because there are no plans.
Right.
We haven't made back in August.
We haven't made
August.
The deputy commissioner says we haven't made a single decision on anything yet. And then he asks him about a general target date to drop the puck. And says in the interview, you know, there were reports Tuesday that MLB has a plan with player approval, of course, and opening the season in early July. He's now, like, bringing up, like, well, other sports have some plans. Like, what? Where's yours? And said, is the NHL there yet with a return plan? And he says, I wouldn't go there. We haven't even moved into our contemplated phase two yet. And that's where I read that sentence and I'm like, oh, forget it. You guys, you're not coming back. It says, so until we do that, and that is again, reach the contemplated phase two. And from there, we have training camp. And I think it's a little bit too early to be handicapping when we might be playing games. Certainly, I have a best case and a worst case in my mind, but that's not something that needs to be shared publicly at this point. By the way, it says my take in this. This is Pierre LeBrun in our notes here.
Yeah,
his
correct.
Take. He writes right in there. Obviously, it makes sense that phase two is front and center right now, and I believe it was a big part of the return to play committee's discussion on Tuesday afternoon. Once again, phase two is the ending of quarantine for players and allowing players in small groups to skate again at their team facility. So when they get to phase two, which could be a month from now, that would be now middle of June, they would allow players to be able to go to the team facility and participate in some skating. A month from now. Okay. Well, all right then. But the line that sticks out, we have not made a single decision. And I think they have a lot of hurdles anyway. I'm not trying to make it sound like they've got an easy path back because they don't.
They don't.
It's not an easy thing to do. But if you're not even going to try and make a plan, and then, you know what? Plans fail sometimes. Even the best of plans don't come to fruition. If you're not even going to try and make a plan right now, I mean, I just think you're cooked. And I think they are. I think the NHL's in trouble here, not making it back. 617-779-0985. Alan's in California. Alan.
Hey, how's it going? I'm in my car at 128. Sorry about that. I just think baseball is looking forward, you know, years ahead. I think it's really going to have a revenue downturn. And I think that there's going to have to be a restructuring of salaries. And I think this situation, this COVID thing, is just going to quicken that. And I think the baseball players are, you know, they're just not with the program. I don't get it. And that's all I got.
Okay. I don't know where you're getting that there's going to be a major revenue downturn. Maybe there's going to be a downturn and continue the downturn in popularity. That for sure has happened. But the gate is where it's impacted baseball a little bit. Their money on TV is still stupid and will continue to be stupid for years to come. So we'll see. But he didn't answer the question of who's most ready to come back in a completely different direction.
And he's also not in California. He's in
Wuhan. He's on 128.
He's on 128. Manny's in Saugus. Manny.
Hey. Hey, how you doing, guys? The thing with the NBA, I think it's difficult. Maybe they're taking their time because out of all the other sports, they're the only ones that have that skin-on-skin contact and trading sweat. So maybe they're being cautious about that compared to the other sports. They have baseball has separation. Hockey, if they decide to come back, they have at least equipment that separates them and stuff like that. And football, obviously, has a long way to go, a few months. So that's what I think with the NBA. It's just the skin-on-skin contact. That's what they're probably thinking.
I was thinking that about the hockey, too. Like, the hockey's the grossest of it all because their equipment smells, and it never really dries out. And if you've ever been around a hockey player, how bad their gloves smell, how bad their pads smell, and the transfer of that, the germs that would stay on those pads, and, you know, the contact, the physical contact with the sport.
They're not sharing gloves.
Right. I don't know, baseball, you touch a baseball, you grip bats.
It's important to note at this point there's no sharing of equipment between hockey players.
Right.
But there was a lot about this because remember like at the very beginning of this, like, you know, we don't know much more now, but we know a little bit more. And we kept talking about, like, oh, you know, how can you have these guys, like, you know, bumping up against each other and sweating all over each other. It was a couple of days ago when Dr. Fauci said, you know, it doesn't transfer through sweat. Is not, you know, sweat is not the culprit here. It's the exhalations.
It's breathing. Breathing is the most dangerous thing, not touching each other.
Yeah, you can. I think you can drink each other's sweat, and that's not going to be the issue. The issue is, you know, wherever the virus is living, in your mouth, in your, you know, nasal passages, wherever, if you're breathing out, and that's, you know, and that's how you're shedding, that's how you're going to end up getting it. And, you know, maybe baseball is the one where you wouldn't have to worry about that. But in terms of just, like, you know, the contact among the players and how close they get to each other, that's the one where, all right, this really doesn't sound like it, you know, it would be much of an issue or as much of an issue for those guys as opposed to, you know, hockey, basketball, football. I think they're all in the same boat.
What, are you going to expand the dugouts? You going to have the dugouts be the length of the first base and third base line? They're sitting on top of each other in dugouts. I mean, it's... I just think it's, you know, at some point you got to decide what you want to do. And I think, you know, hockey's getting to the point where it's we're starting to jump the shark on this one, and there's not going to be much of a season. Then you got to start worrying about next year. You start pushing things back too far. Basketball should be the most ready. I mean, the more and more you look at it, and I know football has the advantage because of time, but hey, these next 2 months are going to go quickly, and then they're going to have to start deciding things.
617-779-0985. I believe we have it says here, Dr. Varis on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, sir.
How are you?
Good.
How are you, doctor?
Love your show.
Thank you.
I have to interject 2 seconds of my opinion about all this mumbo jumbo about sports opening up. I think if everybody looks at it as just a scientific point of view on how deadly this disease is and how this disease has overwhelmed everything, I don't think there's any chance of anything opening up, sports or anything, because, number one, there is no cure. There is no vaccine. There is nothing that says, hey, let's get a group of people in here and play games, watch games, or do anything.
What kind of doctor are you?
I'm a general physician. I do it all. I can't tell you where I'm from because I might jeopardize my own profession. But I listen to your show, and I just don't think there's any way possible to conduct such an opening of anything. I think that we're stuck. I think we're stuck. I don't think that anything is going to happen unless we find some form of a cure or something that's going to allow people to inject it themselves that are going to be free of this virus. I don't think the kids in the fall are going to be going back to school. I think that this is just a big bomb that has hit us. And, you know, people have to step back and say to themselves, you know what? You know, how much of a risk is this on opening up, you know, this box that we're in? Look at Germany. Germany locked down. They reopened too quickly. Now their epidemic has doubled, almost tripled.
Look at Sweden.
Same with Spain. It's. I just don't think it's going to happen. As much as I like to see it happen, I just don't think it. I think we're going to be at a standstill for quite a while.
All right. Well, you know, assuming you are right, doctor, and thank you for the call. Assuming you are right, that doesn't mean they can't at least formulate a plan and let it fail. I'd feel better if they at least had some sort of plan. Like, hey, here's what we want to do. This is what we're aiming for. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You know, we don't control. There are outside factors that we don't control. Did I break up there?
A little bit. You're fine now.
Okay. There are outside factors that we just don't control, and we're going to do our best to try and do this plan. If it doesn't come to be, well, we tried. If you don't at least have that, though, you've given yourself zero shot. Maybe it's a 1 in 1,000 chance that hockey comes back. Are they reducing it to 0 in 1,000 because they just don't want to act at all and put something together? At least give us some little piece of hope, please.
We're pessimistic for a doctor for my taste.
Most doctors. Hardy, did you read the doctor's suggestions for the NHL if they are to return?
Yes, I did.
Okay. We'll give you a doctor's suggestion of how hockey can make a safe return to its sport, and tell me if you think it sounds like a good idea. We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
She'll be the death of me. At least we'll both be numb. And she'll always get the best of me. The worst is yet to come. All the misery was necessary. Well, what deep in love? Yes, I know.
617-779-0985. There are some doctors' recommendations for hockey in making a return. This was reported by, I think it was Ryan Rashog that had this. It was. He says, blue skying some potential tweaks to the game with a medical expert to allow play during a pandemic. See below for a few ideas and a quote from Bill Daly on the NHL's willingness to entertain potential changes. Here are the recommendations from a doctor. And Ryan Rashog writes, had a conversation with an infectious disease specialist about possible ways to modify the game to reduce the risk of virus spread during play. I'm not suggesting any or all of these are necessary, simply relaying what a few of the options could be. And so the Players Association would obviously have to agree to any such changes. Here are the changes put forth by an infectious disease specialist. Full face shields, potentially modified to reduce the spread of droplets even further. Full face shields like college hockey has. NHL players are probably not going to love that.
Oh, no, they're going to absolutely hate that.
Right. No fighting is allowed. No scrums after whistles for linesmen to be forced to break up.
What's that sign say? No bare feet. What's that sign say? No fighting.
Just cancel it.
No fighting.
Coaches social distanced and wearing face masks on the bench.
Okay. That looks good. Well, can Bruce Cassidy get one to match his suits? Because he's very finely dressed.
Wingers maintain 2 feet of distance on faceoffs.
Okay, stop.
Instead of the traditional crossing of the sticks.
This is when you can't let doctors. And leaning, like, we're going to change sports.
And leaning into one another's space. And the last one, which I believe would be the hardest one on the list to get.
No
to
hawkers. No hawkers. This is tough.
And this is not about, you know, willing to agree to it or anything like that. It's that it is so built in and just reaction that players have, and that is no spitting on the ice or on the bench. And I just think even if a player says, okay, yeah, no, if we need to, if the players were eager to take on all of these and say, sure, we want to play, we want to do all these things, yep, we can abide by these rules because we want to play, I think they'd go out on the ice and it would just be second nature.
Yeah.
They'd be spitting on the bench. They'd be spitting on the ice. And then they would do it and say, oh, damn. Like, it's hard to change that habit.
What about Marchand? So, you allowed to lick another guy's cheek?
I would say that is probably not allowed anymore. Not that it was ever allowed.
Yeah. And they're probably, you could cut down on the spitting if you go to the full face shields, because otherwise you're just going to have an oogie mess on the inside of your shield if you continue spitting while that thing is on. But I mean, to me, you can stop with the scrums. I mean, you know, just going in order on the list. Like, all right, the full face shields, guys do play with shields. It's not out of the question. No scrums after the whistle. Well, okay, what are we talking about here? What are we doing?
Yeah. You know, you're still going to shield. Shield would be the only potential one you would accept. Like, okay, if we can play and play the way we want to play, just put the shield on and then go.
Yeah.
Everything else is ridiculous.
And then the wingers maintaining the 2 feet distance on faceoffs. Well, now you're just changing. Now you're changing the way the game is played. The scrums after the whistle are certainly part of the game, but it's not inherently necessary to the game. Obviously, if it's happening after the whistle, you could make the case, but it's still going to happen. The distance on the faceoffs, well, that's now you're changing the game. And then you just get into the, you know, realm of, you know, ridiculous. You say, oh, you can't spin anymore. I mean, that's, I mean, like you said, Beetle, it's just ingrained. It's what they do. It's second nature, you know, for not just hockey players, just athletes all the time. They're constantly doing it. It's just now you've gone into the area where, okay, I guess this isn't safe at all. We can't have, you know, our sport and all the things that come with it. I'm not saying you have to spin.
I'd rather say it canceled.
They're going to.
I'd rather say it canceled. Yeah.
You know, that's going to happen. So if you're saying that you can't play, if that's going to happen, well, then you can't play.
Why not take it one step further and say no checking?
Yeah, just to turn it into a completely different sport. Right. You know, forget about the scrums. Yeah. What
play
about
football,
the
and, but you guys can't tackle.
Quarterback,
you can't put your hands under center.
No, you can tackle, just no pushing and shoving after the play.
God.
It doesn't make any sense.
Sense.
Are you breathing in each other's air? Look how skinny T-Bone is. Oh, my God.
Let me see.
I just saw the
first
shot
up.
Of him again.
Put him back up.
Put him up there.
Oh,
is he cute?
God.
Is he clean?
He is withered. He looks like Kate Moss. He is so thin. The mass is just
gone. No, he isn't. He just bought a bigger
shirt. From
his
shoulders, from his tries, the delts, the traps. I can see it all through
the
shirt.
I've had this shirt for years.
Yeah, and it used to be skin tight on you. The buttons used to beg for mercy, and now it's hanging off of you.
The neck can button now.
Look at that. You have a neck.
I know. It's taking shape.
T-Bone, do you feel like you're more pliable now?
I do.
I bet.
Do you consider that a good thing?
No.
No.
I'm not me.
I'm not T-Bone. I want to be big and stiff. there's a fake promo for you. 617-779-0985.
I didn't even say that's what she said.
Bob at Tewksbury. Bob, what do you got?
Hey, how you guys doing? I enjoy the show. Listen to it every day. There's not much else now, so you guys are keeping everyone entertained.
High praise. Well, no one else is doing a live and local show, so you guys are it.
I'll take it.
I was only reflecting that 6 weeks ago, I have a daughter. Now, she's involved in medicine. She does sport orthopedic surgery.
Yeah.
And if you asked her 6 weeks ago what you thought was going to come up out of this whole thing, just like the doctor you had on a little while ago, she pretty much said the same thing that he was saying, only she said, never mind the sports, this concerts, the beach, it's just going to go in through what it's been doing now. And don't be overly optimistic thinking this is going to all of a sudden, there may be a little break here or there, but if you said, what's the end result? How long could this go for? And she just, her opinion, 2 to 5 years. She just said, don't be surprised. Don't expect. That's all she said. Well, yeah.
Get the daughter on.
Put your daughter on.
She's out by the pool looking at the water, debating to go in. And it's kind
nice.
Of cold today.
Oh.
Well, how do you heat? I have a question. How do you heat your pool during these times when we have 39-degree nights?
If you have, in this case, the pool is heated, you just leave it on and pay the electric bill.
Jesus. Wow. See, I have a converter to my...
It's an electric heater, huh?
Yeah, I'm not the pool guy, but in essence, that's what I'm told.
Yeah.
So you just pay the bills then.
So how do you heat your pool? Do you have a heated pool?
I have a converter to my furnace. Oil.
So it runs on oil. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I know people that have, when they have them, some of them run on gas. Like, you can hook it up to your gas and run on natural gas, which...
That heats
crank.
It up. They crank, but you get a pretty good gas bill during the summer.
Gas is cheap, man.
Gas ain't that cheap if you heat it up good.
Gas is cheap. He's right, though.
Oil's cheap right now. Like, fill my tank up. I'm going to crank that baby.
It's stupid cheap.
I should heat
right
the hot
now.
Tub today.
Or do you heat your hot tub yet? Doctors are not positive on this. Yeah, and they're smart people. They know more than we do.
They are. Hey, Fauci's a guy that said a couple months, 2 months ago, you don't even have to wear a mask. I mean, and the problem is this thing changes every day. You learn more about it every day, and you adapt. It's going to continue to go up and down. I do believe sports will come back, and there might be a lull here. And there probably will be more infections the more and more you read about this.
But, I mean, to continually just keep everything closed. I mean, you lose your shirt. People are losing their shirt left and right here. It's bigger than sports, obviously. But sports does give you a break. It gives you a break. It gives you something to watch and hope for, you know? That's why we do this every day.
617-779-0985 is the phone number if you've got some thoughts on who's the closest to making a return of the four major sports. Let us know. And I've given you our rankings. I think that the NFL is in the best position to do it, and I think MLB is second, and I'm feeling not so great about the NBA and NHL today. We've got more on the NBA that we will definitely be getting to as well. But we do want to go to something a little bit more fun.
Ooh.
So you know how when restaurants open, you've said restaurant, that's the number one thing you want to do when things get back to closer to normal.
Yep.
You want to go to a restaurant, you want to get a steak, you want to get a drink.
I want to sit at the bar, I want to have a martini and a steak.
How would you feel if there were a mannequin sitting in the chair next to you? Yep, that's what I thought. We'll get to that coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Coming up at 11:36, next hour, I'm talking to Jeff Fry, former Red Sox infielder, here on Zolak and Bertrand. If you haven't seen his videos on social media, he's blowing up, so he's a big deal. Had 1 million views on TikTok, I think, a couple of weeks ago.
You like the Tom Emanski?
Sort of like that, but funny. Yeah, it does involve a little bit of hitting instruction. We'll talk to Jeff Fry about that. He's also a player agent, so I'm sure he's got some thoughts on baseball. We'll get to that coming up next hour. Here's a story for you, though. Now, as you've said many times, can't wait to get back to a restaurant, get a steak, maybe a martini. I know you, Zoe.
Classic steak joint. Yeah.
I know what you're looking for. You love a good restaurant. How about a restaurant that has 3 Michelin stars? You ever been to one of those? I haven't. I can't say I've done that in my life.
What's a Michelin star?
So Michelin is, they do guides for restaurants.
Like high-end, right?
And,
yeah.
And 3 Michelin stars is considered the best restaurants in the world.
Mm.
Yeah, so if you have 3 stars, that's it. You're as high as it gets, man. High as it gets. There is a restaurant, the Inn at Little Washington in Northern Virginia, that sent out an email to their customers and letting them know that they'd be reopening on May 15th. They're going to reopen this weekend.
Nice.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam has allowed for that to happen. And there was a problem with the plan, and that is diners can sit outside for phase one of the reopening. And then patios can only be filled to 50% capacity. So that was not going to work for this restaurant. So they got to push back to May 29th so that they're not yet able to open. They were like, yay, May 15th. And then they said, oh, only outside. They said, okay, well, we can't open yet. So we're going to open May 29th. They give their customers all the details. But they still have to adhere to the 50% rule. And so to fill up the tables at the other half of the empty tables, they're going to be using mannequins. They're going to be putting 40s-themed and 1940s-era mannequins at all of the tables where there cannot be people sitting and dining.
You know I don't like old movies to begin with. All the black and white crap from back in the day, that Casablanca crap and that. Last thing I want to do, go to a nice restaurant. Have to look at some guy with a bolo tie on over there and one of those top hats with a cane and be all creeped out and feel like I'm eating at Madame Tussauds wax museum. No, I wouldn't go to this restaurant. Look at this. This is like death. You can see it on NBC Sports Boston. This is creepy.
Well, I don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this. Now, there is...
To make it feel full.
Right, because there is a psychology to restaurants and nightclubs, and we've all experienced this, where you know, the nightclub may be half empty, but they still maintain a line outside so that if you're driving by, you're thinking about going, oh, that looks like a hopping place. That looks like something that we may want to, you know, go in and check out. Because if it's empty and, you know, like an empty restaurant, you look at it and say, like, I wonder what's wrong with this place. But, I mean, are people going to be fooled by this?
Looks like Kevin from Home Alone when the sticky bandits were, they're the wet bandits were casing the joint, you know? Michael Jordan's in there, you know, having a party with him. Nobody's going to eat this.
I think it's what Zoe describes with the Wax Museum, that they're creating scenes, and they're creating scenes from a different era, and it's sort of an artistic flair to the restaurant that they are adding. That's what I think it is. I don't think it's about the psychology of making people, and even though they say it is, they said it could reduce people's anxiety.
It's like Jackrabbit Slims from Pulp Fiction, which I watched last night. I'm watching that. I'm like, they're eating in a 67 Chevy over there with a Chrysler. It's creepy. Hello. Who's the guy that Sullivan show? Ed Sullivan, right?
Yeah.
Hey, he's in there. Marilyn Monroe. Like, I don't want to go to some theme joint. I'm going to eat. I don't like talking to anybody anyway, like sitting next to me. So, I mean, like the wax person wouldn't bug me, you know?
Right. When the movie Cats came out and people were talking about how they felt unsettled by the movie Cats and they couldn't quite put their finger on it.
I never saw Cats.
Well, I don't think any of us saw the movie, but there were these stories going around that people...
dressed up like cats?
No, it's people dressed up as aliens. Yes, the people dressed up as cats. They're in cat suits. But people found like the whole look unsettling, and it was... It was something I think it was called the something valley, like the uncanny valley or something like that. It's this psychological phenomenon where if something looks vaguely human, like if a dog gives you like a human expression, you think it's cute. But the more human it looks, the creepier it becomes. And that's why people are freaked out by mannequins and freaked out by realistic looking dolls. And in this case, that might be why you'd be freaked out by having these mannequins sitting in a restaurant while you're trying to eat.
It's like that Annabelle doll that I talk about all the time. That, you know, that's the haunted one from Burrowville Hill in Rhode Island. You don't want a porcelain doll that looks real sitting on a rocker in your bedroom staring at you. It starts to creep you out.
I'm against you guys. I would totally go just to see it. And see what it looks like.
You
get a picture with it. It'd be fun.
You get attracted to weirdness. Like you're open to this. You like to go to all concerts because you just like to experience things. You've got that in there.
So in other words, Beetle, if things start to reopen, but there's a limit in terms of how many people can go into a store, you would want it to be like Will Smith in I Am Legend. You want to walk into Blockbuster, and if only six people are allowed in the store, you would like those other bodies to be represented by mannequins standing there pretending to browse among the selection of DVDs and VHS tapes.
Those are in the way. That just creates shopping in an empty store is always better than shopping in a busy store. But eating in an empty restaurant is a weird thing. It's just you'd rather there be people there.
Not people, they're mannequins.
Yeah, but it's fun. Yeah, bring the mannequins in.
Not fun.
For the restaurants, bring them
thank
in.
You.
They don't get in the way. They don't require any extra service. Bring them in.
What do they eat? What do you feed them? Wax food?
Your drink order is not going to be late because the waitress is paying more attention to their table. They don't need anything. Put them at the table. Let's go. Bring on the mannequins, Hardy.
What if they're playing footsies under the table?
Maybe they are.
And what makes it even creepier, it's the 40s era mannequins, so they look like ghosts. They look like old dead people.
You feel like you're going to Walt Disney World's haunted house ride.
Great outfits on.
It's like the people walking through in Poltergeist with the old-timey suits and the hats.
Thank you.
Next thing you know, Carol Ann's going to drop out of the ceiling, followed by a couple of slime-colored tennis balls.
I'm not going
there.
Nope.
Bob in Maine has something on the elite restaurants such as this one. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, some of the elite restaurants, I haven't been to them, but you pay for the table. You don't pay by the head. You don't pay for what you ate. If you have a party of three and you sit at a four top, you pay for that four slots.
Yep, I am aware of that. I have a friend who went to a number of these Michelin restaurants overseas, and because there were two people... And there was only a table of four that was available. They spent like a day trying to find another couple to go in on the table with them.
Wow, I've never. Yeah. I mean, that happens. That happens at some golf courses. If you,
I'm going to tell you,
you have to book a foursome, but if you only show up with two guys, you got to pay for the other two guys who didn't show up.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm going to get the details on that. I'll get that for you before the end of the show. And I remember they were on vacation. They're like, no, we wanted to go here, but they only had a table for four, and there were only two of them. So I forget how that worked out. But, yeah, you pay a lot of money to get in those places too, Artie. It's not cheap. It's thousands of dollars to get in there. 617-779-0985. As I said earlier, we'll be talking to Jeff Fry later in the 11 o'clock hour. He'll be with us at 11:35. We'll get to your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.